Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Today I have an old friend of mine who is constantly performing miracles in his little, intimate little theater. Say hello to Fred Anzavino.
Hello, Fred. Hello, Tom. How are you? It's so nice to invite me back to your program.
Oh, yeah. Well, you did the impossible. You always do the impossible. To make... mount a stage-worthy, tremendous production of a rock opera at No Exit Cafe in your intimate little theater. Tell us how you did that.
Well, you know, I mean, when I was picking my season last year, I was like, okay, what do you want to do? I always liked challenging myself, like doing the impossible, because in some ways I'd rather fail completely or succeed exuberantly. You know what I mean? It's
yes.
One or the other. So... Jesus Christ Superstar, you know, I was a Catholic boy growing up, and my dad took me to see Jesus Christ Superstar, and, like, I was 11 or 12 years old. Okay. We went to a concert version. It was before it even hit Broadway.
Yeah, in the
it
70s.
It was a rock
yeah,
and
yeah.
roll concert yeah. version at the Warwick Musical Theater in Rhode Island, and there was pickets. The line, the car line, I remember as a kid, you couldn't get to the parking lot because there was people picketing the show because the Catholics... were up in arms about the piece.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah, this thought it was before, blasphemous. Huh?
Yeah, before it hit the New York stage. And it was just a band with singers, and they stood in front of microphones, and they sang the score, pretty much. And it was an African-American man who played Jesus Christ.
Well, that's alone enough to
back
get,
in the day.
Yeah, in that day,
that was
right.
pretty against, you know, the norm. But anyway, so it was a play that, a musical opera that I know from word to word, note to note. I know the entire thing from front to back.
I'm surprised I know as much of it as I do.
I'm 57. How old are you?
70.
Oh, I shouldn't ask you how
That's
old you
right.
are.
That's all right. I don't mind.
You look great for 70.
I'm a dinosaur.
More, it was a little more my generation than
Yeah,
perhaps,
it was.
You know what I mean?
Well, my problem, and some other reviewers said the same thing, is it was always so overproduced. Scream and holler, the band was too loud, they garbled through the lyrics, and yeah, it had its moments.
Right.
But what you did, we'll get to that, but what you did, you made it stage worthy.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, so the after you decide you're going to do that musical, that rock opera, your first question is who's going to play Jesus Christ?
Yeah, that's kind of important.
Non-equity. Yeah. Jesus Christ. That's a whole different equity. I think your umbrella gets larger.
Oh, yeah.
You can go anywhere to find someone in all over the country to come in to town.
And they do that. You
and
know,
play.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they do. But I need a local guy who would work in an non-equity environment, in a cabaret environment. So a friend of mine, Elliot Friedman. Do you know Elliot?
No, I don't.
He's our accountant, actually. He was in a show with Max at Jetico.
Oh, I think I do know him. I know him not by that name, but I know him. Yeah, I know who
yeah.
he is.
Fredland or something.
Yeah,
Fredland.
Yeah.
He was in a show with Max at Jetico. Is that what it's Jellico? What is it called?
I think it's Jetico.
It's in Cicero.
I've never been there because Cicero's a little hard to get.
Yeah. So anyway, so I was like, okay, I'll take. And they were doing Evita, and I thought, you know, Evita, I love and. So I drove up, he drove me up there. He said, I think I might have someone that would be good for Jesus Christ. And that's when I was first introduced to Max, to Togni. And after the show, I introduced myself and shook his hand. We became Facebook friends. And basically, I said, Max, can you sing that part? He goes, absolutely. He was so confident. And I was like, yeah, right. You know how many times I've heard that?
Yeah, yeah.
So I set up a private audition between Jeremy Ramey and myself. In here, the No Exit Cafe, to hear what he's got. Prepare Gethsemane, you know, sing it for us. Jeremy's like, oh, begrudgingly, all right, I'll come, thinking, you know, who did he want me to hear now? Rolling yeah. his eyes. He'll deny that, though, because I told this story yesterday. He said, I didn't roll my eyes. The minute he saw Max, you know that he looks the part.
Absolutely looks the part, yeah.
Do you know? I mean, he's half Italian and half Jewish. His father's Italian, his mom is Jewish.
So he makes
so he's
him
got
Jewish,
two,
yeah.
The two best parts.
Yeah.
Because I'm Italian, of course. To Togni out, you know. And he sang, he got up there, Jeremy played on the piano acoustically, obviously, Getsemane, and he just blew us both away. We offered him the part almost 8 months ago. And that was all I knew, that I had a Jesus, and then I said, let's put it on our
season. That's a pretty good start.
Yeah. You know, because if I have a Jesus, that's a great start,
yeah.
You know. And that's how it started out, basically. That was the main factor in me determining to do that rock opera. And I always wanted to approach it differently. I mean, I always thought, like, we don't use, you know, microphones in here.
It's one of the trademarks that we really respect. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm old school. You know, I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts back in 1978. They call it the American Academy. There's a militant attitude about it in there. Although sometimes you might not hear it in this podcast, but it was all about articulation and speech, voice and articulation.
Oh, that's the lost
and
art.
Projection.
Yes.
So many kids don't get that.
Oh, absolutely. They rely on
the microphones.
And even you can't hear them with the mics because the mic only amplifies what you give it. So if you mumble or don't give it anything, right. it can't amplify.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the biggest things that I sit over there in the back of the theater, which is not very big. That person who's paying $30 needs to hear every lyric. The person sitting at the bar on the other end needs to hear every lyric. And then there's the balance with the band.
That is the other thing that I credit you and Jeremy Ramey and all your
and
music
Adam
directors.
Adam Vaness, too, has been very helpful in that area as well with Jeremy.
Who's that?
Adam Vaness.
Okay.
He's my set designer, but he's also my production manager.
Okay.
And he knows this room so well that he knows. So we have many voices being very concerned about the sound of the room. It's a high priority here all the time.
Lesson to other groups. Come here and listen, hear how they do it, because there's a lot of bigger venues in town that they just blast you out, either the guitar or the percussion, and you can't hear the lyrics, even with mics. I've heard that.
Yeah. Well, because sometimes mics are hard, and you see opening nights, by the way.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a good week, 2 weeks to get the sound of a microphone system intact, because when you tech in, you don't have that much time to really...
I guess that's true, but still, after several shows, you know...
You would think.
Yeah.
I think, well, you know, Mercury has stepped up to the plate with their sound system. They have one of the best sound systems in the city, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, they spent some money.
Walter did.
Yeah.
And then... The last show we did that I saw there, Avenue Q.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So
that's a major element. And that certainly makes for a show like a rock opera work. And for the first time, I understood every lyric. And when you do that, when they're close up, it has an intimacy. You get into the story.
Well, and that another thing, too, is like, yeah, absolutely. And it's really about relationships and who's, I mean, these characters are so vivid, you know, and so iconic. And I was a little concerned because a lot of people, when you say you're doing Jesus Christ, there's a lot of jokes that go around, you know, and spoofs that go around about the characters and the musical itself. And I wanted, it's so hard because I wanted to keep it honest. I wanted Jesus to be a man.
It is honest and it's heartfelt. And it's a good story. You like the people and the ones that are likable and the villains are the villains.
Yeah, absolutely. But what's important for me to make Jesus a man, he's just like a good man who tried to do good in this world and was persecuted for it because he was getting a little too popular among the masses.
And you balanced it. It isn't religious. But it's not anti-religious.
No.
You balanced it to be a story about a good man who...
You know what it's about to me? It's about progressive people who want to celebrate the story of Jesus Christ. You know, versus that Bible-throwing right-wing people who want to throw Jesus Christ. I'm a progressive, liberal thinker, creative thinker, and I still believe in Jesus Christ. And I'm getting tired of... people giving Jesus Christ a bad name on the right, the right wing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Making an excuse to attack every...
Yeah, and my father said that. He goes, you're doing Jesus Christ. He goes, half of the people will attack you for just doing it. Because, you know, it wasn't accepted by the Catholic Church. like we said, there was riots and protests going on.
Yeah, I can't remember that. Yeah.
Then the Pope came out. I'm not sure what year or what Pope it was. He said, "All right, chill down, everybody. This is a good story. This is an acceptable story." And then the Catholics started to come to see it and accepted it. But the Pope made a comment about it.
I think this present Pope would probably love it.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You got a seat for him if he comes, right?
Up front. non-obstructive view.
Okay. So now tell us about casting. So now you got one of the best music arrangers and musicians around, Jeremy Rainer.
Right.
And, you know, of course, he's going to surround himself with top musicians.
Right.
So that's taken care of. You got your Jesus.
Right. Well, the next step was Brenda Didier.
Ah, yes.
That's like... and it was weird because at first she had another commitment and said she couldn't do it. And then that commitment, like 2 months later, I went to her 50th birthday. She had a big birthday bash at her home and a gorgeous home. And we're walking outside and she goes, "I think I want to do it." And I'm like, "Okay, you got it. You know, let's do it." So getting Brenda wasn't the second biggest thing after finding Jesus.
Well, she, like you, in her field as a choreographer in a movement coach, there's nobody better in your space.
Well, she's a director choreographer. Yeah, she tells a story in her dances. And her and I have worked on, I think, six or seven shows.
I remember Cats just blew me away on your minute little stage.
Well, I first worked with her on Evita.
Yeah.
And that's when I learned that she was a director on top of it. You know, there's a lot of director choreographers out there, but I think a lot of the director choreographers are mostly choreographers pretending to be directors.
All right.
I think Brenda can really step up to the plate and be a director choreographer, the true sense of the word, because she understands character motivations and telling the story and keeping it simple and where you want the audience to focus. You know, you got 13 people on stage, but really it's about these three people. Everyone else is just kind of dressing. You know, you want to see those facial expressions. You want to see what they go through, and you do that with lights as well. But she was a big person to bring on board.
She's one of the best in town.
Absolutely, you know.
So now you got that. Now you
and
got
then we have an open call.
Okay.
And they come from all over the place. Who thinks they can sing these parts in Jesus Christ Superstar? And it basically was not that complicated, except for the role of Judas. Because that's a huge part. It might even be more, and I found out later, it might even be a more difficult part to sing than Jesus.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
You know? And so... through Brenda's contacts, because she had worked with Donatario Johnson, who I'd never met, she brought him in. She said, "I got a guy that I want you to hear." And he came in, and...
She was with him in Bailiwick, right?
She did. Oh, I know what it was. She did Ain't Misbehaving with him.
That's right. At Porchlight.
Yeah.
Yes. That was awesome. Yeah, that's right. That's where he was in. Yeah.
That's how she knew him. And then I was... stuck with the concept, because before that, a friend of mine who's a reverend on the South Side, a minister on the South Side, said, "Oh, I hear you're doing Jesus Christ. Please don't cast an African-American man as Judas."
Yeah, I could see why. Yeah.
And I was like...
"Oh, yeah." But it's R&B singing, and it almost
it
has
totally
to be.
It totally is written for an African American voice.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Jesus is too, if you wanted to go that route. But I wasn't trying to make any statement. I mean, I just put it out there. Whoever could sing this part and act this part, simply and honestly, I don't care if you're black, green, white, if you're from Mars, if you could do it, you're going to play that part, you know? And Donatario blew it out of the water for me.
Oh, he's awesome. And as an actor, too, his emotional range, besides the great singing, just...
And the opposite of him and the peaceful, loving Max as Jesus and the intensity of the Judas character, just like night and day, really. And I think that works really well together.
And then there's Danny Smith.
Well, then, okay. And so I didn't cast. I did not find a Mary Magdalene. I mean, it was like so many. Every woman in this town wanted to play Mary Magdalene.
Sure.
Obviously.
Sure. It's a great role. It's a great role. It's got the great song and everything.
And, you know, I was like, okay. And we looked and we looked and we looked. And I didn't offer it to anybody. And I just didn't feel it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Danny had done Passion here. Danny had done Patsy Cline here. And she also did the Rodgers and Hammerstein. Danny is Wild Party. I mean,
she's one of the best in town. Yeah.
She's going to the top in her own way. You know what I mean? Danny's career is going to take off.
Can't believe she's not Equity now.
I think she might be going.
Good.
Yeah, she's got a big role coming up somewhere at a very special place.
Okay.
And I guess I shouldn't say. Right. Online, anyway. But I get a email or a text from Danny. Fred, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. Have you cast Mary Magdalene yet? And I kind of wrote back, why, you want it? She said yes. And I was like, it's yours. I didn't even need to hear her sing it because I know her so well. Yeah. And I know that she was exactly the right person to be playing that part at this time in my space, you know.
And her interpretation of her big song was fantastic.
Yeah, she's getting beautiful reviews on that. And I think it's because, you know, she has her own interpretation of where the character is. You know, Mary Magdalene, I don't know. You know, the way it's written is she was a prostitute.
Yeah, well, that's...
But there's been people who said she wasn't a prostitute. She was married to Jesus, really. There's so many stories.
I think that's way out.
But, yeah, there is.
Catholic educated enough. Yeah, I don't know if I believe in that stuff, but I know about
it. They go there now, you know what I mean?
Do they?
Yeah. But this particular piece, she, you know, obviously had a history with men in her life, in the background.
And but loving him.
But the thing that I thought about with Mary Magdalene, because she's got the ointments, you know, the try not to get worried, and she's anointing him with the oils. Mm-hmm. I always thought that she was like a type of gal who would go out into the, you know, and find like plants that she was like a Mother Earth kind of woman as well.
Maybe even a shaman of sorts.
Right. You know, and she really is the mother of this production, you know, she's not Mary, Saint Mary, the mother of God, but she certainly has that sense that she's the all loving, trying to, the mother who's trying to keep it all together for him and for everyone.
And in a lot of productions I've seen of that, it's just a girl who can belt. You know?
Yeah, it comes on kind of brassy and sassy and sings a great version of, you know, sings it beautifully, but doesn't have the depth that Danny Smith has.
Right.
I mean, Danny brings so much depth, and I don't even know where it comes from. That girl is just organic, you know?
Well, it's talent. You can't teach talent, you can only give it an avenue.
It is talent.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. It's like when it comes to talent, it's like 90% of the people that you cast that are so talented, you really don't direct. You have conversations with them, but they intuitively give you what you need.
Yeah, isn't a director, correct me, you've directed a few shows, isn't a director really has to cast, get them on the same page and then get out of the way, isn't it?
It's pretty much. Yeah. I mean, Dennis from Victory Garden says that 95% is casting.
Yeah, he has said that.
You know?
Yeah.
And then there's some truth to it. But being non-equity, you want to bring a lot of people up from them. They're new because they haven't been in it. They're just new to Chicago or just graduated.
You're a teacher, too.
So you get a lot of kids at that level that have so much talent but still need that reassuring direction and specifics. And that's where Brenda comes in and I come in and Jeremy. We can get very specific with these kids and give them something to go on, you know.
And you guys have been around long enough where I'm sure they're killing to work for you guys. Yeah. They know it's a way to get their ticket punched.
Yeah, well, you know, they can get seen by some of the best critics in the city and get their name out there in the papers, and the Jeff Committee comes and sees them. It's a great opportunity. You know, I would have hopped on it when I was younger, came to Chicago as an actor.
So tell us how you ended up with some of these people. You ended up, this is probably one of the best ensemble cast I've seen in many a moon.
It's a great cast. Yeah. They can sing that score.
Yeah, they sure can.
Well,
great harmonies, and some of the actors that have fairly small parts blow it away when they get their opportunity.
Well, then, you know, because Brenda and I and Jeremy have history, you know, Charisse Hamilton and Kaki Pixley, they worked with Brenda, and Kaki's worked here as well. So we kind of just pick those girls, you know. It's like, who do we need to? We know those are solid women. Sure. They're going to show up to rehearsal. They're not going to, you know, call and say, I can't make it tonight. You know, they're professionals and they want to do this stuff. So I had no problem just handpicking those girls. The boys, the apostles, they're all pretty new. The only ones that played here was Stephen Perkins, played in Smokey Joe's Cafe.
That's right.
And the rest of the guys are all new. The huge find, besides Max and Danny and Dontario, the huge find, well, there was two more, was Jonah Winston as Caiaphas.
Yeah.
You can't, I mean, that's a real bass singer.
And it has to be a bass. I've seen it where they played it with a high baritone, and it doesn't work.
Well, we talked about it. We had so many people coming in. Should we just raise the key and sing it higher? Yeah. Jonah came in and nailed it. He was playing Judd in Oklahoma in summer stock and drove all the way in because it's a dream role of his. Out of nowhere, this 6'5".
Yeah, he's a big guy. Yeah,
with commanding presence.
Yes.
To play that part is like, that was a coup. That was a great find, because it's hard to find someone who can do that.
Yeah.
You know? And then Tommy Bullington, who played Herod, I knew that he had won the Jeff Award last year in the supporting category.
Yeah.
I didn't know who he was. I heard a lot of good things about him, but I never met him. He walked in here, and because Jesus was already precast, I invited Max to come in to watch the auditions to get his feedback too as well, because I'm very inclusive, you know. I like to see what other people, if I got it right, or, you know, with Jeremy, Brenda, and I, if Jeremy and Brenda think something totally different than I do, I really take that very seriously, because maybe I'm missing the boat on something.
So that's
trust. Really believe it. Yeah, unless I really, really, really believe in something. But if it's like a two against one, or it's like, I'm going to open my eyes to what they think is right.
Sure.
You know? And a lot, because the ego's got to get out of that. You know? Our egos have to leave. You know what I mean? So anyway, Tommy walks in. Max was sitting over there watching the auditions. And everyone knew, place was packed with people, auditioners, because I have open call. You sit in this room and you listen. I call 20 people at a time because it's a cabaret room. There's no lobby. So they sit in this room and they watch everyone one at a time get up there. And it's like a master class. Every single...
Yeah, and I can say that can be intimidating for
her. It is.
They're looking like, oh my God, I got to go be better than that.
They don't realize that's happening.
But that's a good experience for them.
It's great for them. Yeah. They end up... Well, I get so many emails like, that was the best audition I've ever had. And I try to... It almost becomes a master class between Brenda and I, and, you know, we stop them, especially if we see something exciting about them. We'll stop them and give them direction and see how they take that direction, you know, that kind of stuff. So anyway, Tommy walks up on the stage. Max is sitting right over there in the front watching the auditions. And Tommy knew, because he's a smart actor, that he was going to play it right to the guy. Oh, really? Well,
cool.
Your Jesus is sitting right there, and I'm going to play a scene with him right now. And he just knocked it out of the park with his, because he's a very funny character. He's a young character actor who's going to have a tremendous career.
Yeah, I like him.
He's young, but he's got what it takes to, you know, he's actually going on to play Hairspray at Timberlake this summer.
It's a good role.
Yeah. It's a good role for him.
Yeah.
But anyway, he, and then Max just picked it right up and started playing. And then at the end of the song, you know, Take Him Away, He's Got Nothing to Say, Get Out, You King of the, Get Out of My Life. Max got up, walked across the stage, and just left the building.
Great.
I almost kept it in, but it wouldn't mix because, yeah, you know, he's guarded in the piece by a soldier.
Yeah.
But it was hysterical. Max just walked, and he got a rousing applause from the other auditioners. I was like, you know what? That's it. Next. That's cast, you know.
I liked it. Your pilot, too.
Ryan,
he's been with
is
you before.
Tremendous. Ryan is a kid from, I don't know, I don't want to say, I'm looking at his bio right now. I think he was raised in Indiana, if I'm correct. Milliken University.
That's
St. Louis.
Yeah, Milliken's down in St.
He's
Louis.
He's a native of St. Louis.
Okay.
So he was raised in St. Louis. He's kind of a shy, all-American nerd in real life.
Boy next door, kind of. Yeah,
you know? And he came in green. He was in Passion. He was one of the soldiers in
Passion.
Yeah,
that's right. I remember him in that.
And he, you know, he had to serve a meal in Passion, and his hands were shaking, and he did not. I was like, what are you doing? I gave him such a hard time in Passion. And originally, the part was cast. I cast someone else in the part. And you know who it is, but I won't give his name because he went on to do something else at Porchlight.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you who it is off air. And it would have been fabulous. So the role became available again. And the big thing is I tried out for Pontius Pilate about 20 years ago. I got two callbacks for the part. The third callback was, come in and sing the part where it goes, don't let me stop your great self-destruction. Die if you want to. That whole section.
Mm-hmm.
That's very difficult to sing because it's all about breath control and where you're going to hold the phrases and mm-hmm. how long you hold the phrases. And it's rock and roll and it's falsetto bombed out there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was, if you can sing that, then you have, at least you're in the potentially to get that part. Ryan's got a gorgeous tenor, beautiful tenor.
Yes, he does.
And I knew that much. I knew he had a gorgeous voice. Then after he did Passion, he went to Timberlake and he did Les Miserables. Like, he was in the chorus of that. So he got a little more experience down there as well. Anyway, I called him back in after I lost my initial Pontius Pilate. I said, Ryan, why don't you come back and sing for Brenda and I and Jeremy, just let's hear it. And he sang Pilate's Dream for us. And I cried. I was like, oh my God, that's gorgeous.
Mm.
And then we gave him the section of Don't Let Me Stop Your Great Self-Destruction. And he sang it beautifully, knocked it out of the park vocally. What you see today, if you come and see this, his performance of Pilate, is not only can he sing it, but he, I'm so proud of him. It makes me want to cry because, I mean, I'm really proud of the kid because I've seen his progression. He is incredibly passionate, and it's just a beautiful interpretation.
Yes.
This man who's tortured, who doesn't want to really do this to Jesus Christ. He's saying, what do you want me to do? Say something. He's giving him the opportunity
to get out of the
situation. And Christ won't do it.
And it really comes across.
It's one of the most magnificent pieces of acting. I mean, I tear up just thinking about it.
I remembered vividly, yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to him, I said, Ryan, if you had asked me two, this was the day that he came back to sing for the part again. I said, Ryan, if you had asked me 2 hours ago, if I would cast you in this part as Pontius Pilate, I would have put a gun to my head. That would have been. But you blew us away, and the part is, I offered it to him right then and there. I said, it's yours. Brenda was like all excited about him, and that reassured that I was right.
Yeah.
Jeremy was all excited about him, and that doubled reassurance. So all three of us just were like, this kid is it. we started rehearsals, and I felt like he was still the old Brian a little bit, Ryan a little bit. I said, I have an idea. Why don't we call Michael Bonacontro and just dye his hair? I want him to feel like a rock star, too, you know?
I was going to ask you about how he ended up with the blonde.
We bleached blonde in his hair. Ever that day, he became... Because Pilot is an eccentric sort of character written in this piece anyway, you know? There's eccentricities about him. And the beach blonde hair and those big eyes of his... And he felt good. He felt like a different person. And it just went over the top. The part went over the top.
Well, I'll tell you, I think you're going to end up with quite a few nominations from the Jeffs. Because all the roles you talked about have been that
strong.
They're
vivid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing. You can see a superstar where, oh, who was Pilot? Or who was every single character? Caiaphas is vivid. Pilate is vivid. Christ and Mary and Judas and Annas.
Yeah.
The kid playing Annas. I mean, he's vivid. You know, it's like, and so that's an interesting.
So let's give a little commercial because I'm running out of time here. So for the show.
Well, this, you know, we sold the show. By opening night, we sold out the first run of the show.
Wow. Congratulations.
It's the first time I've ever done that. Ever. We've done 50% pre-sales.
I mean, you've had some pretty good pre-sales,
50% with Cole Porter and about 50 cent with Piazza. Jesus Christ, 100%.
Wow.
You can't get a ticket right now, which we decided, well, obviously we have to extend the thing because there's a lot of people who want to come see it.
Yeah.
So we've made a decision right now to extend it through May 17th.
May 17th, good. I'll make sure I put that on my
list. Yeah, and... tickets should go online by tomorrow.
Okay.
I have a big meeting, a company meeting with them tonight. Just the contracts are all in, everything's done. It's just a matter of getting them live on Tix.com and on our website. Mm-hmm. But it's happening, you know.
Great.
And they're all in.
They're all in.
Yeah.
Right?
No one's leaving.
Well, you know, it's such a great experience, not only for the audience, but for these kids.
Yeah.
I have to come back and see it in a couple of weeks just to see how much they grew.
Yeah.
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 Because it's that
They're
kind
really
of piece.
Excited. It's interesting because, you know, they never know how good it's going to be in rehearsals because we don't know after a while. It's like coming every day. And now that the audience is here for them to share it with, you know, they're really, they know the magic of the space.
What's the audience reaction been?
Last night they were silent at the end of, you could hear a pin drop at the end of the crucifixion.
Wow.
And there was no applause and they walked on stage and they got this rousing applause at the end. It's like just beautiful because you just need to breathe after that. Because in the original, there's the hammers and the
yeah.
I cut all that out.
Good. It was so overproduced.
Yeah, just put him up there. Let him simply say those beautiful words that he says at the end of his life. And then Jeremy breaks out into this beautiful piano and a very simple resurrection. Do you remember? I mean, I don't want to give it away how it ends. I love the way
I do too.
Just pretty much comes off the cross. And
because it's how do you end it anyhow?
Right.
You
in
know.
A space like this, you're not going to fly him anywhere.
Right.
You know, it's just a simple.
But it works so well. It's beautiful.
It reestablishes that he's a man and we're all in this together, you know, in some ways.
So in the interest of time, I got one last question.
Okay.
What are you planning? Where are you going with
it?
With the theater company?
God, you know, I love this space. I wish it was bigger because we have very little dressing room space. I mean, pretty much once people are dressed up, they have to mingle with the audience, you know, or because you can't hold 13 people back there.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean,
Are you looking for a bigger space? Well, you don't want to go too big.
I don't want to go too big. It's almost not even the audience big. I just like some extra room for the actors to breathe. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not even... I can go for 60, 75 people. It'd be nice to get 75 people in a house. 100, maybe. 100 might even be too big, you know. But the thing is, I won't ever leave Rogers Park. This is my home, you know. This is my community. And I think it's really important to stay in Rogers Park.
Yeah. Between you and Lifeline down the street.
We got a good thing going here, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You've got the quality.
But I also don't want to leave the Cabaret Theater. I want food service. I want the cocktails. I want the actors waiting on tables.
Sure.
And that's all part of our magic, right?
Well, the only thing I have can say is thanks for the interview. And you are on a level now that it's amazing.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Just like you, a lot of these actors, we saw how this place started out as just a little cabaret and grow.
Yeah.
And every time when you know, Cats and some of the other big shows would say, how the hell are they going to do that? And you do it. So I had no doubt when I saw Superstar say, oh, good, that's impossible, but he'll do it. I mean, we just knew it. I mean,
that's the idea.
Yeah. And your audiences, that's probably why you sold out. I'm sure we helped with the reviews, getting the word out, but they know what you've done in the past.
Right. They know we're going to do our best.
And they know they want to see it. They better get their ticket in.
Yeah.
How many are you seating, by the way?
58.
You can seat that many. Good.
Yeah, 58 and 24 dinners max.
Yeah. And you're playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Are you going to add any performances?
You know, that's a tough score to sing twice a day.
Yeah, it is. You could blow your voice up. Yeah.
I mean, I thought about that on the train coming up here. Maybe we can do a Sunday. Because we tried Sundays at 2 o'clock, and we did really good with the Patsy Cline. But that's an easier show to sing than, in some ways. Oh, that's a tough song.
How about a Wednesday?
That's possible. It's possible. We've done Wednesdays before. We've sold out Wednesdays with Patsy Cline, too.
There's not a lot going on Wednesdays, other than downtown.
Yeah.
You know, so you ought to think about it, especially if the demand is there, which it is.
My biggest concern is, to make sure that I don't blow anyone's voices out, because it is rock and roll, and it's a little different than...
Well, it isn't scream and holler rock and roll, but you do have to have a vocal range.
Yeah.
You got to be careful there.
But that's what I say. Stay healthy, kids.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. This is a work of art. And I think the Jeff Committee is going to like you guys. Yeah, they like you anyhow.
We'll see. I mean, they've been very kind to me in the past. I mean, I'm not counting on anything. And
of course not.
I don't expect anything.
Well, congratulations. Folks, don't miss this show. This is worth seeing. Thanks for listening, and go see a play this week.